Today on The Journey.
Are you willing to sacrifice any Christian freedom so that the message of Christ is not hindered in your life? When you get to that point, that's when you make spiritual impact.
Freedom draws a very large circle. Love draws it smaller. In between looms the possibility that the gospel can be misunderstood. So today, Ron Moore shares how the Apostle Paul dealt with that situation and how you can follow his example. First, a word about Ron's digital booklet called Vital Signs. It's a 60-day checkup on your and your church's spiritual health. It's available for a donation of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with Freedom. Never confuse the message on The Journey.
1 Corinthians, take your Bibles and turn there if you would. And we are evaluating the vital signs of a church. Later in Paul's letter, we're going to look at the very emotional vital sign of worship. Paul began his letter by hammering the essentials of unity. And now in chapters 8, 9, and 10, he is working through this issue of Christian freedom. And Christian freedom is the areas of our life where we don't go to Scripture and it says, do this or don't do this. Christian freedom is that gray area in between where there is no scriptural specific command or instruction, and we have to do it based on our conscience. And then as we live in community, it's not only our conscience, but it's how these things impact people around us. So in chapter 8, Paul introduces this aspect of freedom, and he talks about limits of freedom. And then in chapter 9, he explains how he applied this freedom to his own life. This is a fascinating passage of Scripture, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. And as we go through it, I want you to see what Paul's mission was. And then I want you to see what he's willing to sacrifice in order to make certain he does what God has compelled him to do. And then, of course, we're going to ask you, as I'm asking myself, what am I willing to give up in order to do what God's called me to do? Now, it's interesting because there's a story going on behind the scenes in chapter 9. And we don't know the story behind the story, but we can conclude this. Paul is taking some shots. And reading between the lines, it seems that there were individuals insinuating that Paul was in ministry for the wrong reasons. He was in ministry for money. He was in ministry for recognition. He was in ministry for power. Now, certainly, there are people in ministry for those reasons. But I can tell you personally that when in your heart you know you're in ministry for the right reasons, nothing cuts deeper than for someone to tell you you have improper motives. Isn't that true in your mission that God's called you to? When you know that this is what God has called you to do and you take shots for it, there's nothing that cuts deeper than that because you're compelled to do this. Now, Paul, in chapter 9, here's the criticism, and he's going to deal with it. In fact, in rapid fire, Paul shoots off some rhetorical questions to make his point. Look at verse 1. Again, remember, listen to Paul's emotion here. He is responding to harsh criticism. Paul says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." Paul says, "For goodness sakes, I founded the church in Corinth. Many of you are believers because of my teaching." He calls them the seal or the proof of his being sent by God to preach the message of Christ. That's why the criticism hurt so badly. Paul knew it came from people who were believers because he had risked his own life for them. Now, I want you to hear Paul's emotion in verses 1 and 2, but he's not finished emoting. Look at verse 3. Paul says, "This is my defense to those who set in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brother and Cephas? Don't we have the right to take a wife along with us, as these guys are doing? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living?" Paul's a little worked up. He is saying, time out. Why are you criticizing me? Why are you criticizing Barnabas? Why are you calling our motives into question? Don't we have the right to eat? Don't we have the right to be supported by you, just like you're supporting all the others? In fact, the others are taking wives along with them, like Peter. And you're supporting them. Barnabas and I, we're traveling alone and we're taking shots. Let me make a statement here. I've seen a lot of people in church sign up for significant ministry opportunities and become devastated by the criticism of others. And I think that's one of the saddest testimonies that happens in the church. Now, when you're on a mission, though, and you feel God's called you to do something, you're willing to stay in there for a long time. And I want to go back to that. What's the mission? What's the compulsion that God has on your life? Now, verse 7, Paul's going to build a biblical foundation for paying a person whose primary job it is to serve in church. And I want you to listen to his reasoning as he's working through this. Because again, he's trying to minister to people and people are taking shots at him that he's in it for the wrong reasons, that he's in it for the money. Look at verse 7. Paul says, "Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human standpoint? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a harvest from you? If others have the right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more?" You hear what Paul is saying? There is scriptural foundation, Paul is saying, that he should be supported. Others are being supported. Again, Paul's taking some shots here. Others are being supported. Why shouldn't he? Okay, now the passage turns a little bit. And here's where I want you to see Paul's heart. I want you to hear what Paul is willing to do for the mission God has placed on his life. Look at verse 12. He's just built this case in verses 7 through the first part of verse 12 from Scripture that those who work in preaching the gospel should be supported. Look what he says in verse 12. "But we," speaking of he and Barnabas, "we do not use that right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." Hear what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, "You're criticizing me, and it's unjust. And I have a right to be supported. But I would rather forego that right. I would rather forego that Christian freedom so that the gospel is not hindered." Because Paul's going to say, "I am under compulsion to preach the gospel." Now, in verse 13, Paul reminds the Corinthians again of that scriptural right. Look at verse 13. "Do you not know that those who work in the temple get food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive a living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights." Now, I love this because Paul is getting ready to say something else to the Corinthians. He is expecting them to say, "My goodness, Paul, we didn't know you were so sensitive about this. I mean, let us pay you, for goodness sake. Whiny little pastor, did we hurt your feelings or something?" So Paul comes right back and says at the end of verse 15, "I'm not writing this in the hopes that you will do such a thing for me. I love this next one. I would rather die. I'd rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, so not to make any rights in preaching it. You hear Paul saying, I would rather die than not being able to come in and dispel that criticism, because that criticism, Paul says, will hinder the proclamation of the gospel. And that is what compels me. Paul said, you're not going to take that boast away from me. And so Paul worked part-time. He and Barnabas supported themselves instead of taking support from the Corinthians. The big idea of this passage is this. Now listen to what Paul's saying, because this goes right into your life. Freedom in Christ must never confuse the message of Christ. See, Paul was willing to do whatever it took. He was willing to lay down his freedoms. He built a biblical case for it. But then he said, you know what? I'm not going to do that, because I am so compelled for this mission in my life. I would rather die than take any support from you, because I don't want it to hinder. I don't want anyone ever to challenge my motives. Now, as we go through this, I want you to see, Paul lays it out clearly, what his mission in life was about. Look at verse 19. You're going to see this over and over again. Paul says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. Why? Read it with me. To win as many as possible. Paul says, I will set aside the right of being supported. In fact, I will enslave myself to self-support in order to remove any potential offense and win as many as possible. Look at verse 20. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under law, so as to win those under the law. Paul was saying, within the limits of God's word, I didn't go against my conscience, but I became as culturally and socially Jewish as possible in order to witness to Jews. Paul says, I'm under compulsion to do that. Look at verse 21. To those not having the law, who would that be? Everybody else, the Gentiles, right? To those not having a law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. And why did he do that? Read it with me. So as to win those not having the law. You getting Paul's mission here? Within the limits of God's word, Paul fit in as much as he could possibly with the Gentiles in order to see them come to Christ. Look at verse 22. To the weak, I became weak. Why? To win the weak. You know what Paul is saying here? Paul was a great theologian. I mean, this guy was brilliant, trained in the law. But Paul, the great theologian, stooped to make the gospel as clear as possible to those on the lowest level of spiritual comprehension. Paul wasn't trying to impress anyone. Paul said to the weak, those who's just entering this thing, I want to put the cookies on the low shelf. I want everyone to be able to get it. Now, I'm sure, as they do in our day, they did to Paul, well, you're watering it down, Paul. I mean, my goodness. You're not getting deep enough. Paul said, no, wait a second. I know what my mission is. To those who are weak, I will put it on the lowest shelf. I'm not taking out any essentials of the Christian walk, but I want people to understand it. Paul says, I'm willing to speak the language of those around me because I have this compelling mission to tell others about Christ and to win as many as possible. Look at verse 22. Paul says, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. So I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Now, let's be careful with that verse because I've heard that verse abused. Paul is not saying, I'm going to go sin in order to save sinners. I'm going to go sin in order to show people that God has transformed my life. Paul's just saying, I'm willing to do anything to keep the gospel free of distractions. Within the bounds of God's word, Paul would preach the gospel without any expectation of support. He would behave in front of the Jews and Gentiles in ways that would not distract them. You see, because he had this mission. When you have a mission and you know what it is, then you know what to lay down and what to pick up. Paul would do anything. To what? To win as many as possible to Christ. That is what compelled him. And he's determined to live with that personal discipline. Look at verse 24. Do you know, Paul says, that in a race, the runners run, but only one gets the prize. By the way, there were two big games in this day when Paul was writing this in around 60, 63, 64 AD. There was the Olympic Games, and then there was the Isthmian Games, and the Isthmian Games were in Corinth. So when the Corinthians read about the games and the runners running, man, they knew all about it. Paul says, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. If you've been an athlete, you know that. You go into strict training to do your sport. They do it to get a big wreath hung around their neck. That's why the runners here in the Isthmian Games do it. But Paul says, that wreath isn't going to last. But here's why we run. We run to get a crown that will last. Therefore, Paul says, based on that, because of that, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't run like someone who doesn't know why they're running. I don't run like someone who doesn't have fixed and certain goals. I don't run like someone who doesn't know what their mission in life is. That's running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. I'm not going to throw punches that aren't going to land. I'm not going to shadow box. And Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it a slave. And here Paul is using a hyperbole for the aspect of discipline. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, I don't want to make anyone stumble. Paul says, I'm willing to do all that so that I won't be disqualified for the prize. Now, he's not talking about his salvation, but he's talking about when he stands before Jesus and Christ weighs out his works. Will his works stand like silver and gold and precious metal? Or are his works made of straw and wood and hay and they just burn up? Paul says, man, I don't want to go there. I want my life to count. You see, freedom in Christ must never confuse the message of Christ. And so as you deal with this area of freedom and what you can or cannot do as a Christian, you first have to say, what's my mission? Why am I here? And I think somewhere in that mission that you have as a believer, it should say, I want to take some people with me to heaven. And I'm willing not to do anything that's going to hinder expressing that clear message of Christ. I'm willing to put down anything so that I don't confuse people with the pure gospel message. You willing to do that? Maybe something you really like to do. And again, it's something that's right. It's not wrong for Paul to take the support. He just said it's hindering things, so I don't want it. I'm willing to lay down any freedom. We're not talking about right or wrong here. I'm willing to lay down any freedom so that I will not hinder the gospel. Anyone ever heard of Matt Emmons? In the 2004 Olympics, he was one trigger pull away from winning his second gold medal. In fact, he was so far ahead after 9 rounds in the 50-meter three-position rifle competition, all he had to do was hit the target, and he won. With amazing calm and marksmanship, he spotted the target, and he pulled the trigger, and boom, ripped another bullseye. But to his surprise, none of the lights lit up on the scoreboard. And then he saw three judges walking his way. The officials came to inform him that he had hit the wrong target. While standing in lane two, he hit the target in lane three. He was awarded a zero, and he didn't place in the competition. Here's what Emmons said. On that shot, I was just worrying about calming myself down and just breaking a good shot, so I didn't even look at the number. And then he said, I probably should have. I will from now on. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to come to the end of a season in your life and realize you are aiming at the wrong thing? Wouldn't it be sad to come to the end of your life and discover too late that you're aiming at the target in lane three and you really should have been aiming at the target in lane two? You see, when you know your mission, Paul says that's what you aim at, and you can discipline yourself so that at the end of the day, you are willing to sacrifice anything in order to make certain the gospel is clear as it comes forth, not only from your lips, but from the actions of your life. Paul wasn't the only one in Scripture who well knew his mission, was he? Jesus certainly knew his mission. And he was willing to sacrifice it all for you and me. He didn't have to. He was willing to lay down his rights. The eternal God, becoming man, humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, laying down his rights all the way to the cross so that you and I could have an eternal relationship with him. A couple questions. One, just as Christ knew his mission, just as Paul knew his mission, what's that compelling thing that God has put on your heart? Only you can do it. Just as your fingerprint is unique, so is that mission God has laid on your heart. Do you know what it is? And secondly, are you willing to sacrifice any Christian freedom so that the message of Christ is not hindered in your life? When you get to that point, that's when you make spiritual impact.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special offer. Unity, freedom, and worship are critical measures of the Christian church. Our spiritual health or affliction is proved by how we demonstrate these three virtues. In his PDF devotional titled Vital Signs, Ron Moore offers a checkup for you and your congregation. It's 60 days of spiritual challenges, chart the fragile nature of unity, the delicate use of our freedom in Christ, and the correct expression of public worship. A downloadable copy of Vital Signs is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to talk about a special offer for church leaders.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for listening to The Journey. I pray these messages have been encouraging to you. And I just want to share with you, here at The Journey Ministry, we want to do more than simply provide podcasts and broadcasts to our listeners. Our desire is to walk alongside churches and encourage pastors and church leaders. We would love to help you with resources like sermons or discipleship material. And we'd like to encourage you as you lead your church. I've had the privilege of leading the Bible Chapel for 30 years, and I can tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to encourage you, and I'd love to pray with you as we work together in this greater Pittsburgh area. So send me an email at ronmoore@ronmoore.org, ronmoore@ronmoore.org, and let's just talk, because we believe no leader should have to lead alone.
Again, that address is ronmoore@ronmoore.org. And please remember to get your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled Vital Signs. It offers a spiritual checkup for you and your congregation. Vital Signs is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.